Number two in the AP poll. What? Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops podcast. It's Kyle Rush, Zep Jasper, and we've been off for a while. We've been off for a while, but we're ready to talk some basketball. This scheduling, Zep, is weird at this time of year. Whenever you get, it's like weeks in between games. It's tough, and I got some questions about that for you in just a second. But we're going to talk about Auburn being number two in the AP poll. How big of a robbery that is. Preview the Auburn Ohio State matchup and talk about the Ja'Kai Howard explosion on Sunday and what that could mean for Auburn moving forward. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Look, I don't care if you have a 401k, an IRA, any kind of savings going right now, you need to go to retirementresults.com/plan and just make sure that you're not paying crazy fees. You're protected from the IRS, and just make sure that whatever plan you have in place is stretching your dollar that you've worked so hard to earn as far as it possibly could go. Tell him more, Eagle. Tell him we sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Zep, again, we're a little bit behind on shows, but in the time that we've recorded last, the AP poll this week came out, and I just for sure thought Auburn would be number one after absolutely dominating Richmond, jumping up to the, I think, number one offensive, analytically efficient teams on KenPom, but Tennessee jumps Auburn, takes over the number one spot, and I'm really struggling with understanding what the AP – what's the deal with the AP voters? Like, what's – I know it's humans, so humans have bias. What's the deal, man? I can't quite figure it out. Seems like a no-brainer.
Well, I knew they would put – would keep us at number two because of the number of losses we had and losing to Duke and not losing to everybody else in the poll. The only team they could put over us was Tennessee, because they haven't had no losses. So, I think that's the reason why they put Tennessee ahead of us. I don't believe Tennessee should be ahead of us, but, I think Tennessee plays somebody, you know, okay this weekend, but
Western Carolina or no, Illinois. They play at Illinois on Saturday.
They play at Illinois. So that really would be their true test. I think Tennessee most likely will win, but their schedule is not the strength that we have. Like the teams we have played, we have played some dominant teams this year, and I don't think Tennessee should be number one.
Yeah, so like I'm just looking at their schedule, and they've got some traditional names on there. So like you got Syracuse, but Syracuse is not Syracuse of what you think about when you think about Syracuse. You got Louisville. Louisville's not – who you really think about when you think about, you know, the great Louisville teams. So they got a bunch of names, but the most impressive win to me is Baylor. I guess that was at maybe at home, possibly a neutral site. They were 13 in the AP poll, 13 at that time. But yeah, I just, you know, you look at Auburn's schedule and the ranked teams that they played being 4-1 in quad one games. That's just, I guess you're right. The undefeated aspect is what is doing it. But again, I just think Auburn still has a stigma of, you know, not being a true blue blood basketball school. So when it's close, they're going to give the nod elsewhere, unless it's just, you can't even argue it one way or the other. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's the undefeated aspect of it that is keeping Auburn from jumping to number one. But again, look, number one doesn't really matter right now. Number one matters in March. All we're worried about right now is just preparing ourselves for conference play so we can make sure that we can make a run and, you know, hopefully for another SEC title and work for possibly a number one seed. I got a question about Auburn plays Ohio State this weekend, but I teased it in the beginning. To me, it's really hard even as a fan. Sometimes this is a weird part of the year when you get around Christmas, when games get really spread out. Like when you get to conference play, you know it's going to be 2 a week. You got 2 a week. You may have that off Saturday at some point in time, but you're going to have 2 games a week. But right now it's like games get really spread out. So my question is, how does that affect you, like you guys? How does that affect the team? Because, you know, when you get in that rhythm, it's easy. But when you get spread out like that, like how do you play on Sunday, you don't play for 7 days. Like how does that change your routine? How you practice? I'm sure there's probably some time off in that time as well. Like how do you stay, I guess, stay locked in when you're off so long?
Oh, where when you're off so long, you kind of switch up the routine a little, but it's kind of different because people are getting out of school, you having exams, the semester is kind of ending, and when your exams is over, you kind of work on your things like your jump shooting, to make sure you're keeping up to par. Your strongness, your weakness, you're really not going to work on your weakness because you're going to work on the things that keep you going. The things that got our team that's what is our record? Maybe
We've only lost one, so however many games we played, we're that and one.
that and one. So you're going to keep doing those things that made you great to be to have those one losses. So, like I said, they probably would get shots up, early during the morning. And then have practice later that afternoon because you have so much free time with being out of school. So having those 6 to 7 days off, going into a game, you just work on jump shooting and just some slight things. You don't want to go too hard because you got to give yourself a rest. Your team plays super hard, so
A lot of minutes for some guys.
a lot of minutes for some guys. So all those guys just basically doing a quick shoot around and then turn back around a couple hours doing a quick practice and doing some team bonding type stuff.
I like it. I like it. Definitely a lot of downtime right now, leading up into tomorrow in Atlanta when we play Ohio State. It looks like they've got 3 losses. So they are 6-3. Lost to Pitt, Maryland, and Texas A&M. So it's not like they're playing, they've got a pretty tough schedule. They've had a pretty tough schedule as well. They beat Texas to open the year. That loss to Texas A&M, I think, was closer than the score indicated. I think it looks like they lost by 14 points. But I think they played them pretty tough. I don't know much about Ohio State. I don't know what to expect going in. I don't know. I feel like Auburn's going to be a pretty heavy betting favorite. What do you know about Ohio State? What do you think there is to expect? What to look for on Saturday?
Ohio State got some solid guards, some guards who can shoot the three. One thing I noticed about them, they have no traditional bigs, so we're going to be able to kill them in the paint. Jahni Broome is going to have an excellent game. They're going to have to double, so when they double, Jahni is going to kick the ball out to the open 3-point guys who are going to splash threes, and we're going to be in State Farm Arena. It's going to get very ice cold, like Trae Young in there, but it's going to be the Auburn edition. When you see Auburn shooting threes. So I think this would be a good game for Auburn because it's another powerhouse name. Ohio State, when you think of Ohio State, you think of Big Red and you think of just a powerhouse school.
You mentioned them being out one of their bigs, and I put bigs in quotation marks. Obviously, that'll help the size advantage to help Auburn be able to pound them inside. But I'm looking at some of their guys. Bruce Thornton looks like their leading scorer, plays a ton of minutes, shooting 53% from the 3-point line. Gosh, they have two guys, Zep, shooting over 50% from three. What do you do? How does that change the way you attack or how you defend when you know you got guys out there that if they shoot two threes, they're going to make one of them? So, how does that change your game plan?
Well, Bruce Thornton, he's one of the best guards in college basketball. He plays with extremely great confidence. He's one of those guys that he don't take bad shots. That's why his percentages are so high. Guys like that, he never seen the Auburn defense who play super close, play aggressive. So in practice, they've probably been working on those type of things. But with guys like that, you push them off the line. You make them uncomfortable. You make them do things they never have done in the game this year. And I think BP have been working on those type of things. Make guys who don't score, score. You know Bruce Thornton is going to want to score. So we're going to make guys who you don't see score, score on Ohio State. And we're going to see if they're going to live with it. But most likely, they're not going to be able to live with it because we're going to have the best game plan you can imagine coming in this game. And the best fans are going to fill out the State Farm Arena.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a heavy Auburn crowd. So it looks like Bruce is from, is he from Parkview? Did he go to Parkview High School? He looks
He's
like he's from
from
East. Go ahead.
Georgia. He's from Georgia.
So there's gonna be some guys that I'm sure they know each other. So there's probably gonna be a little bit of a chemistry there between some of the Auburn guys and him. One thing that I'm looking at their roster, especially those two guys. Bruce Thornton and John Mobley Jr. that both shoot it deep at a very high clip. Not very big guys. 6'1", 6 foot. I'm thinking our length is going to be a big key here. You know, you got guys like you can get Chad putting that long arm in their face. Denver, lot bigger guard. Even Miles Kelly got a lot of size. I think that could be something that could be very, very beneficial for Auburn and defend these guys because closing out and being able to get in their face, I think that's really all you can do. That's what you got to do to be able to frustrate them. But that's really, to me, they're going to be chunking and praying. You know what I mean? Like shooting it up and praying. They don't really have any size inside. It's kind of crazy. I'm just looking over their roster. Auburn could really, really feast inside. Another thing, that lack of size is going to hurt them. It affords Auburn to cheat a little bit, I think. You can cheat a little bit out on the 3-point line because they can't just feed it inside and beat you inside. So I think this is going to be I think Auburn's going to be a heavy favorite. And hopefully you'll have just another game, solid game, handle business, get in there, business trip, finish them off early and get some guys some playing time. Thoughts on that?
Well, like you said, we're gonna be the favorites. It's gonna be one of those things that handle business, have fun. You in the NBA arena, so you have no choice. We're going to, like I said, we're going to pack it out. Every time we hit Atlanta, Auburn fans pack the arena. So it's gonna be a home game. Ohio State is gonna have no fans. I hate to say it, but they're gonna have no fans, and we're just gonna have a fun game. Every time we step foot in State Farm Arena, it's like we get a full of joy to play. It's like we're gonna have high energy. We're gonna come in. We're gonna execute. We're gonna do everything we asked to do. And those guys who shoot three, that Mobley kid, he shoot the three from the parking lot. But I promise you, he won't be able to shoot the three from the parking lot because we're gonna play so much aggressive defense. We're gonna push up and make him drive to the basket, which is gonna force him to go into Jani Broome. So we're gonna execute and we're gonna win this game by 20 plus.
I love it. I love it. You told me I saw you before the Richmond game, and you said that we'll win this game by 30 points. And sure enough, we won by over 30 points. I knew nothing about Richmond, and you said, "Yeah, watch out. We're going to win by 30 points." So if Zepp says it, I don't know what the spread is, but hey, if it's under 20 points, pound it because he's 1-0 right now. This past game, oh, there was something else I was going to ask you about this game. Oh yeah, when you're playing in State Farm Arena, is how hard is it to make yourself not get distracted? Because there's a lot of, there's a lot of flashing lights. It's an NBA arena. It's bigger. You're not used to playing in a big facility like that. How long, I guess, how hard is it to not get distracted? And then how long in the shoot around does it kind of take you to get your depth perception? Because the seats are so far away from the court in a lot of spots.
Well, it took me maybe, walking in the arena, just having that feeling. You just feel like a different person. You'd be like, "Am I me? Am I actually putting on an Auburn jersey?" So just walking in, you like, "Man, I'm really finna play in State Farm Arena." So, and then when you walk on the court, you warming up. It take you like 20 minutes to actually adjust to get that feel. Like, dang, the seats is far back. You see a lot of fans. You see a lot of cameras. With us being number two, we're going to be the headline game. So everyone is going to come watch us play. You know that in the back of your head. So it's like once you get that first 2, 3 minutes in the game going and you get that confidence, you get that juice flowing, you just feel like you're unstoppable, especially when your team is winning, grinding, gritty, tough. And you just, like I say, you just having fun.
Did you play? You played on the team when we played Nebraska, right? In State Farm Arena. How was it when you, like, you're in there and you're in the middle of the game, you look over there and daggum, there's Kevin Durant sitting on the side right there courtside. Like, how does that, like, there's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be guys like that there. What's that like?
When I seen it, I was just like, man, Kevin Durant at the game. Like, I never thought I would see Kevin Durant at an Auburn game. I was shocked. I was amazed. I didn't get to speak to Kevin Durant, but some people on our team did. Maybe I think like KD and Jabari, because KD's name is KD.
Yeah.
Also, so he got to speak to him. But I was like, man, I wish I would have, you know, got the. I would have said something during the game. I really, really don't care. But that's, I was amazed.
Yeah, so there's definitely, I imagine, we got the early game, so that kind of hurts us, maybe hurt us a little bit as far as, like, if the stars are rolling in to watch games. But, yeah, I can imagine that's just a completely different atmosphere, and it takes a little bit to get adjusted. But, again, Auburn rolling in should be a heavy betting favorite, and I would expect, another efficient offensive, output, and then another stellar defensive output as well. Hopefully we'll put them away early and then get home and celebrate. Everybody drive safe if you're going. I think it's going to be a fun trip, and Auburn's going to pack it out. Last thing I want to talk about, Ja'Kai Howard, man. Ja'Kai, that boy is bad. And he had an explosion on Sunday. He's finally sort of out of the doghouse. I thought he was going to get right back in the doghouse getting a tech after that big dunk. That could have been the fastest out of the doghouse back in the doghouse in history. But to me, you saw glimpses, not even glimpses. You saw the whole package of what he could be if he can continue to develop and just hang in there, stay focused, and stay out of the doghouse. You saw glimpses of what he can really be, and it's something that could be a ton of fun, and he could be a really explosive player off the bench for Auburn as this season sort of kicks up. What are your thoughts on his performance? Was any of that a shock to you?
Well, it wasn't a shock because I feel like he had been waiting for a moment, you know, especially being in the doghouse, seeing his name all over social media, seeing the incident. It was just one of those things that I feel like he needed that lesson. Being the player he is, being a young player, he had to understand it takes those type of things to give you confidence and actually get your head going into the right momentum.
Yes.
And I feel like it gave him the right momentum. I watched him every single game in Maui. He clapped for his teammates, gave them that when they came to the bench. Gave him confidence. Even when JP came to the bench, I read his lips. He said, told him, like, keep going. It's going to fall. So I applaud him for that. I'm very proud of him. Just to see him thrive last game, it was pretty exciting. It seemed like he was having fun out there, just being himself, being a great teammate. And like I said, I'm very proud of him.
No doubt. Obviously, a couple of highlight reel plays, hit a big three. I thought that was an aspect of his game that I was very excited to see. There's some defensive stuff. I think that's probably going to be that's probably going to be where he has the most work to do to earn more minutes. But he played 21 minutes. He was very efficient, 5 of 9 from the field, 1 of 2 from three, 13 points, 4 rebounds. I mean, that's in your first big time, like getting a lot of minutes, that's huge. Chad said something, or Bruce said something about Chad, that Chad basically said, I'll sit some more this game. He can have some of my minutes because we need this kid to be able to, we need this kid to get into it and get up to speed. I thought that was big. I thought that was pretty cool as well. How rare is that to hear a guy say, I'll give up some of my minutes so another kid can get to play?
That's super rare. You don't see a lot of guys do those type of things because most of the guys are selfish. They don't want to see other guys win. But for him to do that, it was very, very one of those things. It was like heartwarming because the guy haven't played. So it was like one of those things that I want to see him win. I want to see my brother win in life. and being a teammate. So I appreciate Chad Beckham-Mazzara for doing that. When I was in the game, he even was he was on the bike and he was talking. He was like, "Yeah, good defense, good defense, good defense. You're gonna stop him. You're gonna stop him." You know, yeah. So I heard him and I heard the excitement in his voice for his teammates.
When he had that putback, the highlight reel putback dunk, I thought Chad was gonna have to run out on the court and like put him on his shoulders. It was the excitement. It's pretty cool, man. Especially because Chad gets a bad rap as sort of, honestly, I mean, maybe at times being a selfish player, you know, with the emotion and sort of not, you know, not being able to stay in check. But I mean, that just goes to show you, he is definitely looking out for the best of the guys, the other guys, you know, behind him. I would have never thought if you got to pick anybody on the team that would sacrifice minutes, I would have never picked Chad. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe that's my fault for just completely misreading what kind of guy he is. But I was just very, very impressed. Very, very impressed with that. Very, very impressed with his ability or his, you know, I guess, desire to help Ja'Kai kind of take him under the wing. It's kind of scary, those two guys being from an emotional standpoint, kind of scary that Chad's the one that's sort of taking him under his wing. But hey, seemed to work. And what type? I mean, like what if Ja'Kai can be a factor? If he can give you 15 to 18 minutes a game, like you go from an 8-man, you know, legit rotation, you start getting back into that 9 and 10 man where Bruce really wants to be. I think that's big.
That's super big because now we'll give us another player to get in the rotation, to play extremely hard, to give us great minutes, and now we don't have to rely on other players that's already in the rotation that you can count. Now you can count up the other guys, like you said, the 10-man rotation, how we always have had it. Like as of right now, we're at an 8-man rotation. So if we can get to that 10-man rotation, these guys won't get tired. They're better play hard every single minute they're on the floor.
I love it. I love it. He doesn't become hopefully he can. It's where he's not a liability. When you put him on the court, you know you're not nervous that you can put him in and hopefully extend some leads, shut some folks down. Just got to work on that defensive side. The offensive firepower is there. It was on display on Sunday. Zep, I appreciate you joining, man. Tell people how they can find you and support you.
On Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at RIP_QAN5, Instagram at RIP_QAN12.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter, _Charlie_5. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.